Hear me well.
Yes, perfect. You can go ahead.
Yes, thanks a lot. So first of all, good morning, everyone. My name is Solo Demir, and I'm going to talk on behalf of all these people I specified on the slide about sustainability studies of big data processing in real time for high energy physics. The first small outline of my talk, so basically it includes, first of all, the high-low project at Valencia. I'm going to say what is the objective, and etc. And then I will move towards the motivation and strategy of the current studies, of the power consumption studies, in fact. And then I will try to show the typical power consumption, which you might have from a typical server. And then we'll try to make some studies with different hardware, different utilization level, and also some accelerators. So let's start with the first thing. So this is the description of the project. This is the transpersonal project in between Atlas and LHCb that we have at Valencia. So we have all the information about that on this slide. And the aim of the project is basically the benchmarking of the new hardware architectures and developing fast and high-efficient algorithms with reduced power consumption. So some of the activities they specified on this slide. So basically, it includes development of different algorithms, some fast processing with stack for the tackle reconstruction, and etc. However, what is important for this talk is basically the measurement of software and hardware power consumption for high energy physics. So this is the hardware that we have within this project and with which we use to make all our studies. So basically, this is just a typical server, and the important thing is that you have two different GPU cards. Basically, one is A5000 and another is A6000, later generation. So A5000 is used to also be used for HCB in the tracker system. And then, yep, you have some photos of that over there. And the last feature of our setup is basically the APC metered rack PDU, which literally allows us measuring the overall power consumption of the entire server because it's literally plugged in between the power socket and the server itself. All right, so basically, if you take a look at some kind of existing studies or some kind of extrapolations for the power consumption for the upcoming years, you'll see that quite a drastic increase in the data center's power consumption is expected in near future. And the significant share of that is basically because of the IT equipment, so the servers itself. So they can consume up to 50 or 60% of the power consumption for the typical data center, according to these studies. And after that, we have some cooling systems and lighting, etc. However, the second most important is the cooling system, 35 to 45%. All right, so let's define the tools that we can use in order to measure the power consumption of the server. So our scientists decided to use the test application, which is ALEN. So this is the software we use for the high-level trigger one at LHCb. So the reason why we choose this software is simply because, I mean, we are the members of the LHCb collaboration, and it was much, much easier for us to use the existing software we use basically every day. So this is the reason. So basically, there are some features of this software. First of all, it can run on different various architectures. It includes both CPU and GPU. It has a modular design that allows the execution of sequences of the algorithm. So basically, the software is split into a set of the algorithm. Each one is, developed to perform some specific task, and then we glue them together to form the sequence. So we have this flexibility, let's say. And the total number of the algorithms is order of 250 that are used in data taking. So also in the real conditions, during the real data taking, we use order of 500 NVIDIA GPU video cards, 5000 video cards. And the last but not least, the tests in the current studies, they are done with the LHCb simulation samples. So what would be the strategy of the studies? So basically, the power consumption itself, it can be studied in with different tools, with different approaches. First of all, we can use some specific dedicated hardware. So, for example, it can be the metered power distribution unit that gives us the overall power consumption of the entire cell. But it might be interesting to try to look at the individual components. So, for example, how much power is used only by the GPU, or how much power is used only by the CPU, so all that stuff. So, in order to answer these questions, we might use the device drivers. So, for example, in the NVIDIA case, we can use the NVIDIA DCGM system that literally allows us to extract the power consumption consumed only by that piece of the hardware. But the CPU is a bit more trickier, about the CPU, the modern CPU, they have the system which is called the performance counters. And by utilization of that counters, we can estimate the approximate power consumption of the CPU cores itself. So I believe many of you know that CPU package consists of many, many different cores. Basically, it can split the power consumption even per cores. So the goal of the current project is basically try to answer this question. Can we reduce the power consumption by optimizing the software and or hardware? Oops, sorry. So let's start with the first approach. Let's just try to measure the power consumption, just dedicated hardware, just dedicated PDU. And we use the AVON or HCBHLT1 software processing for this stuff. And we process like 300 million events in order to make the studies. And then if we'll plot the power versus time, we'll see this kind of the curve. So you see that we have initial rise and then almost instantly. So I don't know if you can see my cursor, but basically around 200 seconds, we'll see another rise in the power consumption that which will subsequently transform into the big plateau. So this is how the overall behavioral looks like. So we are wondering, like, what is the causes of this initial rise in the power consumption and then like reduction? Because I mean, from the naive point of view, it should be a plateau. You're running something, the system is stable, so basically the rest of the curve is more or less expected. But what is the reason of the plateau? So for that, we tried to basically measure the power consumption of different components. So the first thing, the first system we might use is called ACPI interface. So this interface allows us with the modern motherboards to measure the power consumption using some onboard sensors directly on the motherboard. And if we'll try to use this system, this basically device driver, what is important is that this is the driver, it doesn't require any additional hardware. If we'll try to measure the power consumption with this system, we'll see quite a good match in between our measurements with the additional hardware and with this system, which basically means that in order to study the total power consumption of a typical server, we don't really necessarily need some additional hardware. You might just need already existing tools, already existing software within your server. Then we try to look also at the power consumption of the CPUs and the memory units. So to do that, we use the CPU performance counters. So basically, there is a system which is called RAPL. And this system allows us to extract power consumption of each individual component which is specified on the little picture on the left-hand side. So yep, for these studies, we decided to plot the two CPUs because on that server we have physically two CPUs, two CPU cores, I'm sorry, and then two different RAM boards. Chips, let's say. And what we see is that the significant increase in the power consumption was only observed for one of the CPUs. So basically, we were running out of software using only that CPU. So we like restricted the execution only to that CPU. And that explains why the second CPU was idle during the whole process. And then also, I would say, important thing is that we observed that consumption caused by the RAM memory is negligible with respect to all the other components. However, still, the CPU behavior, the CPU power consumption behavior is a plateau. So it doesn't really explain why we have this peaking behavior in the beginning. So we continue with our studies and we switch to the GPU. So again, on our server, we have two different GPUs and we use this NVIDIA DCGM system. But major power consumption of each of them. And again, you see the plateau. And again, the similar thing. So for the execution, we used only one of the GPUs to restrict. I mean, we basically restricted the execution to only one of the GPUs. That's why the second one is idle. Or still, no, it does not explain us why we have that rise in the beginning. So we try to look at the overall system on this picture on the bottom of my slide. So with like bright color, I highlighted all the components that we basically measured already. So the only part which was kind of missing and which could potentially explain this kind of behavior was the fans, so the cooling system. So that's why we decided to basically think how we can measure that. And in the end, we ended up with attaching additional piece of the hardware, which is basically a small little device which allows us to measure the wind speed. So now we have the fans in our system. So once the fans are spooling up, they induce much stronger wind, and then we can measure this wind by this with this device. And in this case, we might be able to correlate like the increase in the cooling speed, in the increase in the cooling power consumption to the rise in the overall power consumption. So that's exactly what we did. So on the right-hand side, you can see the dependencies of the temperature, of the CPU temperature, temperature with the time, CPU and GPU temperature in blue and orange. And in black, there is the basically wind speed measured by that device. And you can see that this rise in the power consumption is exactly at the same point of time as the rise in overall power consumption. So now we are quite confident that this initial rise was literally because of the cooling system, because of the way how the cooling works on the servers. So that's it. So at that point, we understood the behavior of our power consumption curve, and then we tried to play around a little bit with that. So the first thing we tried to do is we tried to use different hardware to run our system and measure the power consumption with different hardware. So we used for that CPU and two GPUs, and you can see the results on this plot. So basically, just to summarize these things, we observed that the faster the hardware is, the smaller overall power consumption will be, even though the instantaneous power consumption might be higher because it's more powerful hardware. Or still, if you integrate that, it will be actually on the lower level, and it can be easily seen for the CPU case. So CPU has quite a low instantaneous power consumption, CPU only execution, but it takes very long time, and that's why in the end the integrated energy consumption is much, much higher than the GPU case. So apart from that, we also try to benchmark the different levels of the GPU utilization. So the Avant software, the SHA-T1 HCP software, allows us to run the execution with the threads. And then each CPU thread is basically mapped to a CUDA stream, to the some, let's say, thread analog, but for the GPU. And then if we'll change this number of threads and measure the power consumption for each of them, we might estimate what would be the effect of the utilization. So this is exactly what is shown on this slide. And then for the low utilization, for the blue curve, you can see that the execution time is much, much larger. And then, as it was shown before, the integrated power consumption also is higher. But then, if you try to use more threads that our hardware actually supports, this might lead to the fact that we also will be higher in the power consumption. This is related to the fact that we have a complicated system of the scheduling, because I mean all the additional threads that we create, they are not actually executed, but they are stored somewhere in the memory, and then the CPU does the thing which is called the context switch when it switches to one thread from one thread to another thread. So it's not really multi-threading, but you're increasing this overhead for the let's say scheduling thing. So this is for the GPU sync. And then the last part of my talk is basically the PGA, usage of the PGA for the small power consumption. So there are ongoing studies which are aimed to offload some execution from the GPU side, from our SHA-T1, to the dedicated hardware, the dedicated FPGA chip. So this is basically mostly about the tracking. And what we see in that case is that we, I mean, by uploading some tasks from the GPU to the dedicated hardware, we might see the decrease in the power consumption, in the GPU power consumption, which is shown on this slide. So basically, we saw that the GPU throughput increases by 30%, and the same by the same order of the magnitude, we have that decrease in the power consumption. However, the studies with the overall consumption of FPGA plus GPU is still ongoing. All right, to summarize my talk. So the first of all is that the watts per event should be an important metric for the high energy physics, especially when it comes to development of the future software. Then sort of optimizations might potentially.
Up on the 15 minutes, actually. So it would be great to wrap up. Thank you.
Sorry, could you please say again?
Your timer has been up for a while now, so it would be great to wrap up.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's literally the last slide. And I see a little timer in the Zoom, which says like minus 1 minute, which might be kind of correlated to the fact that I'm literally on the last slide. But anyways, so okay, whatever. So this is the last slide. You can read the text yourself. And yep, thanks for your attention.
Right. So, thank you so much for this really interesting talk. Do we have any questions for Vladimir? Yes, Zach, please go ahead.
Thanks, Lyra. This is an interesting talk. I wanted to ask you about the FPGA usage, because porting a lot of workflows to FPGAs is usually pretty tough. So you can get, an algorithm or two with some work, but you're not going to run like the whole reconstruction there, something like that. Have you looked into the balance of embodied carbon against operational carbon when it comes to those FPGAs to see if you're really doing something good for the environment if you buy them?